Hand Tools is brought to you by EXO Auto Works. EXO Auto Works is Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios. Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Twisted Apes offers a full menu, live music, and they're the home of Man Tools and Twisted Radio. Check them out at twistedapes.com. Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-634-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products, so you should click the link below and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order.
Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Eric Madrid. Trevor Lane.
Oh, that looks great.
That's just perfect. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Get in the shot here. Whatever. What's up, everybody? How was your week? You guys chime in and tell us on our chat thread. Again, you got to jump into our chat thread. It's an app thingy, and you have to do the stuff, and then you have to do the thing. And there it is. Hey, look, and we're back. That's hilarious. Holy crap, what a day, dude.
Yeah?
What a fucking day, dude. Let me just line it up. We had two jobs to do today. It's going to be an easy day. I was going to meet you here at 1 to do the interview that needed to get done because he's on a different time zone, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
It's going to be easy peasy. We show up, first job, knock it out. We're done, dilly done. But we're in this cul-de-sac. Up in your neck of the woods, in the old bunker, right?
Right.
And then everybody's living there, retired-ish. They see us working. They recognize us. And now we did everybody in the entire cul-de-sacs, sprinkler systems and gutters and everything today. But the best part of today, the most hilarious part, which isn't funny, but it's super funny because it was fucking funny, was we're working on the one lady's house, the house I want to buy over there. As soon as she moves, she promised she'd let me buy it from her without any, you know, shenanigans.
It's right.
Maze balls. Anyway, so I take really good care of this house. But we've been having trouble because the way they turn on the water over there is a separate water main for the sprinklers from the house. So that's got to come on separately. I have the direct line to those guys because I've been working in that neighborhood for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I call Mike, hey, man, come. He's like, oh, I don't want to go to that one. The valve's all fucked up. I know, but we got to turn on the sprinklers. So he gets there, and he starts winging on it. And I'm like, hold on, man. We had to do penetrating oil last year. So I reach down there. I'm like, squirt, squirt, you know, just wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We're standing around talking, you know, motorcycles and shit. And he's like, all right. And he gets the little key, and he's like, holy shit. Or I'm just going to get the big key. And he gets the long key,
mm-hmm.
And he puts some torque on it. Ting! Fucking breaks right off.
Oh,
you should have seen his face. And I start laughing. I'm like, awesome. And Marty looks at me like, what? Why are you being a dick? And I'm like, no, you don't get it. We've been trying to get this thing fixed for like 5 years.
Now that it's broken,
you have to fix it. Oh, the look on his face. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. If you want me to talk to your boss, I'll tell him this is like 5 years coming. Like every year, it's just been a nightmare to get that thing to work and turn her water on. He's like, no, we're just going to have to dig out her whole yard. I'm like, yep. I know. It was
sorry, guys.
Worth going into work today to see his face when he broke that thing off. And we were just shocked that water didn't come spewing out of the manhole. That was so much fun. So much fun.
I may notice the fresh cut
going on. Oh, yes. That's right. You went down to...
Went to Blades and Brews. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool spot. Old Colorado City area. I don't know who came up with that idea. I'm assuming the owner lady. She's pretty cool. You get there early, have a couple of beers while you wait for your, mm-hmm. and they have amazing beers on tap. So I had like two beers waiting. I got there an hour early on purpose to have a couple beers. I had like two or three beers and then did my haircut. They do the whole hot
razor
shave to line you up.
Yeah.
In the back. Yeah. Like it's not just the clippers, you know, mm-hmm. it's a straight razor. Mm-hmm. I didn't opt for this, but they'll do like a straight razor beard lineup. It was awesome.
After you said you were going, mm-hmm. I've purposefully scruffed out so I can go get a straight razor shave. Because the gal that used to do my face at Floyd's moved to Denver. She's like, well, you could come see me. I was like, no, I'm not driving to Denver. But nobody really in town.
Are you going to knock my gas fee off?
Yeah.
If I drive up there to see you.
So hopefully they do straight razor because I like doing it at home, but God, it's just tedious. And it's not the relaxing spa
day. That's one of the conversations I had with the lady was like, you know, I don't do the shaving at all really anymore. But I was like, when I did, that was like my spa day was, you know, once a quarter, maybe, cause it's a little, you know, you're not going to splurge like that for your everyday shave my face.
No.
But yeah, it's a really cool joint. Definitely if you live in Colorado Springs, you should check it out. And yeah, they're very cool. Very mm-hmm. cool.
Hopefully we can have them on the show.
We'll see.
All right. Well, I'm working on that.
So yeah, maybe if we both show our faces a couple of times and you know,
Hey Sandman, if you're still watching, maybe go, you know, get a little shave over there and tell them you heard about them on here and maybe they'll sponsor up.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
cool. Blades and Brews. Very cool. So, what else has been crazy? Oh, dude. I'm trying not to touch anything.
Okay.
We're passing MRSA around at my house.
What? What?
Carolyn got some kind of nick on her finger that then just exploded into this infection. We're like, what the hell's going on? So went to like urgent care on Easter Sunday, which was awesome. And the dude is like, I don't even need to run labs. I know it's MRSA because you work in healthcare. And she's like, I'd still like a culture. So the culture has like, what do they call it? Preliminary results that just say staff. But of course the S in MRSA stands for staff. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I bet it's still MRSA.
Wow.
And the antibiotics he gave her are working. It's looking a lot better. But now we're like, you know, it looks like I don't think I have it, you know, but I'm one of those people that I'm like very cautious.
Sure.
Tootsie Roll has a spot on her nose that's like flaring up. So we got her on antibiotics to try to kill it before it turns into anything crazy. And then, of course, because rats.
I was going to say, you do own rats and gerbils and hamsters.
Rats have a biology that's similar enough to people that they test drugs on them all the time, especially on their skin. So one of the rats has like something going on with their eye. We're like, shit, I'm going to be taking her into the vet to see. I'm going to guess that's going to end up come back MRSA if they have to culture it or whatever. You know, if the vet doesn't just look at it and go, yep, that's MRSA. Here's the rat version of your antibiotics.
That seems like a waste of money, just to say.
Well,
look, a Lowe's bucket is like $3.
We're
some water.
We're flush with Stimmy cash, so
ooh, we're, how's that feel?
It's nice.
You suck.
It's kind of nice.
Wish I had one of those.
I don't agree with the fact that it got paid out at all, but I'm like, yeah. I'd rather you just let people run their businesses and go to work.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Bastards. I got somebody narked us out for the maintenance on one of our jobs up in Denver because we weren't wearing masks.
Okay.
Nobody was living there.
So why? How is that a
problem? Right. That, exactly. It was...
Also, they must have seen you outside, which, again...
Again.
Where's the problem?
That's where we were, coming in and out, and I know who it was.
Awesome.
Yeah. Some auditor lady.
Great.
Yup. So, we're all hemmed up by the health department right now. It's fun.
Yay.
I just went like this and said whatever.
It's out of Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. We just won't come back.
Cool. We won't come back to Denver. Cool.
That's like I had a friend who got, I forget what kind of ticket it was. He got a ticket out in like the middle of nowhere, Kansas, and they were sending him all these angry letters about how he missed his court date. He's like, I'm just never coming back to Kansas. I don't know if you guys get this.
I will never ever
I just will never set
state.
Foot in Kansas. That's problem solved.
Problem solved. Long arm of the law.
That's like... I just found out about this. Did you know that California continues to tax you when you move away?
Yes.
How? I don't understand how they enforce that.
They keep doing it.
Do they get other states to help that? Like, how does
it? Yeah, I got a California form for taxes after I had lived there for this year. So it's been 2 years. This is
that you're gone.
2 years that I haven't lived there. Yeah.
And they want money.
Yeah, I got a tax thing from them.
But what's their recourse if you just don't pay?
I don't know. Well, we're going to find out this year.
Cuz you're not paying, right?
I'm fucking not paying it.
I'm like, how do you
I didn't work there.
What is your enforcement capability?
Yeah.
Other than harshly worded letters that say you really need to pay this. Like, they certainly can't take you to federal court over state taxes.
Nope.
And if you don't show up to a California court date, the worst thing is you just can't go to California.
Right? It's not such a bad thing. Can't afford to go to California.
Well.
Sacramento's cool. But other than that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Anyways, we've got a full show.
We do.
It's all an interview.
It is all an interview.
That I did today. In fact, it's an interview so long that the second part will be posted on our Patreon tomorrow. I couldn't get it like edited and exported and all that good stuff, the second part, in time. I was hoping to be able to go, okay, and after this is over, go to our Patreon to check this out.
But it'll be up tomorrow.
That didn't work out. So we'll post it tomorrow on Patreon and Locals. but tonight we have a discussion with... Anthony Zenhauser. He's a stand-up comic out of, I believe he actually lives in Connecticut. I hate to rat him out, but he's a New York-based comic.
Hey, man, every local band from Colorado is from Denver.
That's right.
It is. It's just where you're from.
but he is one of the hosts of the Creepy Corner, which is a very fun, it's like four dudes. He's the only one in the entertainment business. The other guys are just like blue collar, like one guy's a barber, another guy's a plumber kind of a thing.
Sure. Regular jerk offs like me.
And they're fucking, hilarious, hilarious. Definitely check out the Creepy Corner. He has just started a new podcast called, Complete Bastard, covering British comedy. The first episode is out. It's on Monty Python. Now, when I say it's on Monty Python, they do discuss Monty Python, but much like this show, there are tangents all over the place as subjects kind of enter their minds.
Definitely want to get on a couple of those. I watch more British comedy than anybody I know.
Well, we have a cordial invitation for the episode when he covers Red Dwarf.
I'm about to lose my mind.
So, I know. I told him, I'm like, my co-host is the biggest Red Dwarf fan, and he's like, that's not possible because I'm the biggest Red Dwarf fan.
Did you name your band Channel 27? Should have told him that.
I wouldn't have got that joke.
Right, you should.
I'm not enough of a fan. So
you can even, yeah. We'll talk about it. Yeah. My band's called Channel 27.
But anyways, without further ado, here is my chat with Anthony Zenhauser. Enjoy. We will continue to monitor the chat, but don't call in or anything because we're not going to answer the phone while this is playing.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
So here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Man Tools, stand-up comic and host of The Creepy Corner and, now I'm forgetting the name, The Bastard, is that it?
It's called Complete Bastard.
There we go, Complete Bastard, a podcast covering British comedy. Please welcome Anthony Zenhauser, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay, thanks for having me, man. Ladies and gentlemen, on. This is such a courtesy I'm kind not, of podcast.
And I'm not sure
you don't
how
have
many
like,
ladies we actually get.
Well, with a name like Man Tools, you're probably getting a surplus of homosexual men.
That I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. Thanks for coming on, man. I'm really excited about talking to you. Unfortunately, my co-host actually works for a living, so he could not make it today. We'll drive on and, I know. Yeah. Right. we'll hang out just you and me then.
Okay. Sounds good. It's great. Cause you kind of, the way I found out about the way I got on the show was like through a mass tweet. You're like, can anybody come on this show? If anybody wants to be on this show and you just put all these people out and I'm like, I'm a piece of shit. Let me do it. I don't know you. This would be fun. It's like the beginning of like the green room or something, you know?
I do that from time to time, but it's worked out well. If I'm not mistaken, that's how we got Pat Dixon.
Pat Dixon. I wear a suit all the time. It must be hot to be Pat Dixon. I'm wearing a suit in July, but I got to maintain my gimmick. He's great, man. If you say whatever you want about a comedian, as long as you say he's funny, you'd be like, I heard Pat Dixon raped a baby when he was five. But he's a funny comic.
He's a funny guy, yeah.
He's exactly. A funny guy. Yeah.
You're kind of in that Compound Media Gas Digital world. We've had a couple of guests from, really from Compound Media. We haven't had anybody from Gas Digital. We've had Pat, and we've also had Gino Bisconti, who is a huge piece of shit. Just a degenerate, but a funny guy.
Mr. Bisconti, he's got a heart of gold, but he will drop everything for a bag of Coke. And tell him I said that.
Yeah.
Tell him he's a big fat cokehead, but he's got a heart of gold. And he's really funny, like you said. He's great. He's great. Now he'll sell his friends out for a bag of Coke, but he's fucking great.
Well, the first episode of your British comedy podcast has dropped, and it covers Monty Python. I'm curious what's kind of coming down the pike, what other kind of franchises – from the British comedy world are you looking to cover?
Well, I mean, I like the classics, you know, as far as British comedy. I thought I would start with Monty Python because that's something that we all know in America. It's kind of a multinational, the granddaddy of all British comedy, you can probably say, is Monty Python. And now I'm doing, I'm editing my second episode right now with Benny Hill.
Okay.
Because everybody else knows about Benny Hill, and then I'll probably get more obscure with things as the episodes go on. But I'm trying to kind of find a little common ground with more Americans with the British comedy that I'm doing in the beginning, so people kind of get more of an attachment to it, and then they'll trust us. Maybe by episode six, you'll be able to, you know, let me hold the baby on it, and we'll take you into a rabbit hole of obscure British comedy. But there's a lot of great British sitcoms and sketch comedy that, unless you're like looking for it on YouTube or Netflix, or maybe some, even on Amazon Prime, they're putting stuff up. Or now they have BritBox. I don't want to pay for another goddamn stream, but I'll fucking tell you, BritBox has most of the stuff we're going to be covering. So Benny Hill's the next one, and this one's going to have video. So I'm going to put it on YouTube, and we're going to add more visual aspects to it. So you get more of an experience with the podcast. And I have Pat Oates on as my first guest, and Pat killed it. Pat's a fucking funny dude who'll kill your mom first for heroin, but he's a funny dude. I once saw him stab a guy to death with a broken Snapple bottle, but he's a funny guy, that Pat Oates. It's great, man. So we're looking forward. I'm just going to keep having guests on, and hopefully I'll get my friends on and just keep it rolling with we kind of learn a little bit about British comedy, but we go off on tangents about different stuff. And we ended up talking about like George Floyd on the last one. And I don't know where the fuck we got into that, but it got really, my podcast got really racist around hour number two. And I was like, oh, let's try to bring this back to Benny Hill for a second. But I don't want to fight the current, man. You know how podcasts are. It's better if it's more organic, you know?
Right. Yeah. Just go with the flow and whatever happens, happens. Speaking of George Floyd, I don't know if you saw this. Did you know he was in a porno?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
That's where I met. That's where I recognized him. I said, I know that cock. That's George Floyd. That's Big Floyd. That's Big George. No, they call him Big Floyd. I think his porn name was Big Floyd.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the whole thing, but I am.
You haven't seen the whole soul 12 inches?
I'm kind of curious if there's a lot of choking or if anything ironic and funny might be happening there, you know?
Well, let me tell you this. My co-host on the Creepy Corner, Carmen DeFabio, we were talking about it when it first happened, and he showed me the porno, and then he sent the clip of the lady he was with a lot of stuff in her mouth that was owned by George, probably at least eight deep in her throat. And then he wrote, on the Twitter, he wrote, "Now she can't breathe." So that was kind of fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, it's just, you gotta keep a smile on your face, you know?
Yeah. Well, and with the George Floyd thing, not that, you know, we need to get too deep into that, but I think the sad thing is, no matter what the verdict is, at least Minneapolis is gonna get burnt down, if not some other cities. So
that's the funny part, is that no matter what the verdict is going to be, they don't give a fuck. They're going to burn that shit to the ground.
Hey, it's like,
absolutely.
It's like in Chicago when the Bulls win the finals, man.
Right. Or Philadelphia, when the Eagles win the Super Bowl, they still fucking wrecked it. Right.
Yep.
It's either we were so happy we couldn't contain ourselves, and we had to loot the fucking Foot Locker again.
Yeah.
Because we had to have good shoes on when we go to Sunday church to give thanks for George Floyd, because he was such a pillar of the community. He was this guy who was helping old ladies cross the street. He was buying Girl Scout cookies. He was holding pregnant women by gunpoint. He was beating up his ex-girlfriend. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Sorry. What I meant to say was, he was, giving to charity. He was, he was handing out fake $20 bills out of respect for the counterfeiters in the community. This guy was an all-around guy. So, you know, we have to make sure he's resting in power right now.
Well, it is kind of a, I guess twisted is the right word, kind of a twisted thing how kind of the, I guess you'd call it the Black Lives Matter movement, kind of picks their martyrs.
True.
Because most of these guys that they, you know, want you to believe are fucking angels, are really kind of pieces of shit, you know, and had something coming.
Right. Well, I feel like they're also overlooking other brown people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Black Lives Matter should be they want all brown people involved in Black Lives Matter. They want white people involved in Black Lives Matter. And I listen, if Black Lives Matter was a real institution that was fighting for the rights of people of color, I would be 100% on board with it. But the things that they do, it seems to just hurt their community. It seems to hurt everybody's community. Black Lives Matter didn't march a day for that Pakistani guy who got murdered by the two women in the Uber.
Right.
You know, like there was nothing for him. And last time I checked, that guy was brown. He wasn't white.
Yeah.
But is he not black enough to matter? That's the question that everybody should be asking BLM. I'm not a racist person, you know, but you always got to do that when you're lying. No, but I'm not a racist person. I don't wish any hatred on anybody, but I'm going to give you back 100% on how you treat me. If you're going to try to clown me because of my color of my skin, I'm not going to fucking respect your cause. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to respect the fact that you're a Marxist organization. I mean, obviously, you don't see all the skinny white kids that are causing problems with under Black Lives Matter flag. It's retarded.
Well, and the other thing too is it seems like the only black lives that matter to them are the ones that are killed by police. I mean, how many black people shoot each other in Chicago every day? And it's not like they're marching in the streets, you know, to try to change that. I don't know. It's the other weird thing with them too is when you start looking at their organization, they're run by a bunch of white Marxists. They're not even like a grassroots, you know, movement of black people.
That organization, I mean, it seems like the left always panders. It doesn't help. They're not helping black people. They're giving excuses for people of color that these people don't want. These people are fully functional, smart human beings. They don't need you to help them cross the street. They don't need white millionaires to put on dashikis and kneel for me for 10 minutes. You know,
I mean, right.
it's very like, if I was black, I'd be embarrassed. It'd be like douche chili to see people speak for me. You know, I need a 22-year-old white girl from Cornell University to tell this guy why this 75-year-old black man, you know, is having a hard time in his neighborhood. You know what I mean? It's stupid. It's just like we're going to have to listen to this for another 20 years before something happens.
Well, and it's like, I don't know if you know this. I just learned that showing ID to vote is racist. I had no idea. But apparently showing ID to like get on a plane or to buy a car or you name it is fine. But as soon as you require an ID to vote, somehow that becomes a racist idea.
I thought they were all about. I thought they were all about like, because listen, I'm getting vaccinated. I don't care what anybody says. I want to get back into the matrix. So I'm going to get my fucking shots. But they're all for those IDs. You know, they're going to want to see. You know, well, you can't come in. Do you have your thing? Yeah, I got my thing. You know. And it feels like that's what their agenda usually is, you know, papers, please. You know, let's see your papers. We want to make sure that you're not doing that. But for some reason, when they don't want when they want to make sure that they let a bunch of votes slip by because, you know, they don't check dead people's IDs. Right. They don't check illegal immigrants' IDs. But these illegal immigrants, I mean, are they really making them vote? Is this like 1889 with the Irish? Where they're making all these like Irish and Italian people vote. You know what I mean? This is like Boss Tweed times again, right? Where it's just dead people are just, you know, stacking the deck again, or just it never stopped. Let's put it that way. Maybe it never stopped. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And the other strange thing is the response when it comes to Atlanta. Atlanta is like a 70% black city. That was going to reap huge economic rewards for having the All-Star game there. And now they've brought it to basically as white as you can get Denver. I don't understand the logic. So you're going to take money out of these people's pockets that they were expecting. and give it to somebody else because you don't like this policy.
It's because I mean, first of all, the liberals, the white people know better. Okay, they're not going to give all these black people this money. They're not going to know what to do with it. They're going to buy drugs with it, and they're going to buy sneakers. Obviously, that white people, they're going to hold it for them. They're like, I'm going to hold this money for you when you're big enough. When you're a big boy, we'll give it back to you. But I mean, it's like that's what it's always about. It's always about, like, there's no common sense. It's rhetoric, not common sense. They should give tons of money to Chicago to build back their city, to rehabilitate their businesses that are in the inner city, so their people aren't shooting each other is it still a crack epidemic? Is that why there's so many shootings in Chicago? Like, why are there a lot of shootings going on in these inner cities still? Is it because of the crack game, or is it because of just there's no police? To it's like the Wild West over there. Like, I don't really know what's going on.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that boggles the mind of Chicago is I don't understand how there can be so many shootings when there are so many laws against guns. If gun laws worked,
it's because it's mostly, again, listen, dude, I'm not a hardcore right wing guy. I'm just a regular guy from the Bronx who, you know, we're all blue collar people who grew up with the same with the same kind of blacks and Puerto Ricans that these other white people never met. Do you know what I mean? So we just don't buy the bullshit, you know, it's a lot of bullshit. They're trying to sell you this agenda that these rich people, they made up because they don't want to deal with it hands on, but they want to feel like they did something good for that community. Let's throw them a little something. Let's give them a little something. And I don't want to look at them. I don't want them in my neighborhood, because then I'm going to move out of New York. If they come into my neighborhood, like, say, I don't know, the Upper West Side of New York, yeah, when homeless people were blowing snot rockets and taking shits on these, you know, multi-million dollar brownstone apartments, all these people decided to move out into suburban areas and jack up the prices of that standard of living. So now that people who are living now that middle class and working class people living outside the city, now their fucking rent is going up $1,000, $3,000 because these rich people don't want to live in their shitty city that they blew up. Do you know what I mean? Same thing's going on with all these other liberal cities. So it's they don't want to deal with it. They want it to be your problem. You deal with them, but these are the new rules. You can't hurt them. You can't touch them. They can't be arrested. If they're, you know, those two girls who killed that guy in the Uber, they plea bargains. They're not going to serve any time when they hit 21. It's done.
They're not even going to be tried as adults.
Well. I get that. They're 13 and 15, but they did some pretty grown-up shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they stole fucking candy out of a candy store. They jacked a car. They Grand Theft Auto and manslaughter. That's some pretty fucking big, charges. And it's like, all right, well, we're not going to – the as long as the media doesn't do anything about it, they don't focus on it, it's going to go away that day, you know, or there are 2 days. But Black Lives Matter is not doing anything about it. The where did it happen? Washington, D.C.? Washington, D.C. is certainly not doing anything about it. You know what I mean?
No.
So.
Well, let's
– just
let's
equality, get off, man.
Let's get off let's get off such a kind of – bummer subjects.
Let's do it all day, man. Let's go for it. Who do you hate?
I hate everybody.
right.
Opportunity hater. Let's talk a little bit about the Creepy Corner. I'm kind of curious. You have two other hosts on that show, if I'm not mistaken.
We have four hosts total.
Four hosts total. So okay.
Three other guys.
I'm missing somebody.
I'll tell you who it is. Go ahead.
I just wanted to find out kind of how that started, because you're kind of the only one that's in the entertainment industry on that show.
I am in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that has anything to lose out of it, which is great. You know, everyone, which is why I do all the work. No, they're great guys, man. I met these guys doing a comedy show years ago through a friend of mine who was friends with them. So it just became an acquaintance. They wanted to do some comedy shows. I started doing comedy shows. We ended up getting close, and they invited me on. Justin Gatiss is the guy who started the podcast with Mike Murphy. So Mike Murphy's the bald guy, the angry bald one. And Justin Gatiss is the swarthy gay looking one. And then there's Carmen DeFabio, who kind of looks like me pretty much, with a beard, and he's bald, and you know, we're all a bunch of mooks from suburban New York. And so I started doing that show with him in his house, like to a Yeti mic. There was one Yeti mic on the table, and it was four guys just screaming at each other for an hour. But it was some of the funniest shit I've ever heard. These guys had such a chemistry. I said, let me get in on this. So I started doing the show with them, and then I wanted to. And then at that time, I was doing Crime Report with Pat Dixon a lot. Pat Dixon's phenomenal. He's a great comedian, a fucking great host. I said he could be another Letterman if he was allowed to be, you know, if he was going to give like a job as a talk show host at night. He's got that like Johnny Carson, David Letterman, deadpan kind of humor.
Yeah.
And I was helping him write some jokes on the show. And I fell in love with the studio, and I said, oh, can we rent this studio? Can we rent Compound Media? And the guy, and Keith was like, yeah, I need the money. So we started renting it every other week, and that's how we kind of fell. So you call us part of the Compound universe, and yeah, we're kind of guilty by association with those people because I don't think they want anything to do with us, and we really don't give a shit about doing anything with them. But we love Anthony. He was on our show back 2 years ago or something, and he was phenomenal on it. You know, we've had Pat on a bunch of times. We've had a lot of people from Compound Media. Aaron Berg has done it. Gino's done it. So we kind of fell into that group with all those people, and we had a pilot running on the show for a while, along with Pat Oates and Dave Temple. And I don't know what happened to that pilot season. I think it just went away. Keith quit. And then all kinds of bunch of stuff happened. The E-Rock's eating a sandwich. I don't want to bother him. You know, when he gets to eating, it could take months. So I don't know. I didn't want to bother him. So we never heard back. So we just been doing it off our website, creepycorner.nyc. And it's like we put all our new shows up on the website. And we talk about, like, you know, we just show fucked up videos. We bullshit about we play games, we make up bits. We do games like Nice Dick Lady, where we, you know, we get to see if it's a transsexual or not. We used to do stuff like that. Or we do something like What the Fuck Japan, where we'll just show some crazy Japanese video and we'll talk about it with our guests. Or, you know, we've done skits and sketches, and it's been a lot of fun. We hope to do a lot more, and hopefully by the end of this fucking COVID, we have a great studio now in Westchester. And by the time this COVID shit's over, we're going to have a full audience in there. We got a huge we got all the technology we need. It's just like the Kumia network, but we're just kind of waiting for this stuff to, you know, to kind of get through. But yeah, that's pretty much us in a nutshell.
That's awesome.
Seen the show?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
We just moved, speaking of moving, we just kind of moved our setup for when we do the live show into a local bar, which is awesome. The unexpected kind of downside, though, is like when they decide to do a karaoke contest, when we're trying to do the show, it doesn't get picked up by the mics, but of course we can hear every horrifying bad note while we're trying to talk.
Yeah, right. So, why did you guys pick up? I would imagine a bar isn't the best place to do it because of the sound, you know, people yelling and talking and stuff. Like, as soon as those bars open up full capacity, it's probably going to be hard.
The spot we're in isn't quite in the bar. It's kind of the room is kind of off to the side. And the guy that runs the bar was already trying to do like a radio station thing out of there. You know, my wife was kind of getting tired of whenever we'd have guests, you know, like a bunch of strangers just showing up at our house, kind of a thing. So we needed to go somewhere. And this guy was just receptive to, he wants to get something going where there are some other shows. And we were like, look, we've got the equipment to get that going with you. So we'll provide the equipment and some expertise as kind of our rent. If you'll let us have the space and, you know, not have to do things out of my basement anymore. So it just kind of worked out, and it's not, to be honest, the sound when it's just kind of people hanging out and drinking isn't too bad. It's just when they like, I don't think they'll, if I'm not mistaken, we kind of have an agreement where they like won't book like live bands on Thursday nights. But when they do something like their karaoke contest, it's kind of like, Jesus. So, I mean, we got some things to work out, but it actually has been a pretty good spot to be. And I mean, it's pretty rad to, you know, come outside and have a whatever beer you want on tap right there. That's nice.
Well, there's perks, man, for sure. Karaoke contests are brutal because there's people who take that very, very seriously. I used to work in a bar, and they would have a karaoke competition every year. It was like this huge thing they would do, and people would buy costumes. Like they would wear, like they would like get in full dress, almost like the Olympics, you know, like you see like a figure skater. You know, they would dress up and they would have their songs, they would practice. It felt like if you've ever seen like Spinal Tap or some sort of mockumentary, like Best in Show, like those were the kind of people that were showing up, you know. It's just they don't have that life. Not that me and you have an amazing social life or anything. I think making a podcast is like the new Camaro for middle-aged guys. Do you know what I mean? Like when you hit a midlife crisis, instead of buying a Corvette, now guys in our age, we just start doing a podcast, and it's like your wife is pounding on the door going, did you go to work today? Like, I'm setting up my podcast. I'm having – The guy who owns the liquor store is going to be on tonight. I got to make sure that, you know, it's edited tight and all that. You know, it's like you got your own. Don't call it the basement, honey. It's the lab, okay? You call it the radio lab, or you don't come down here at all, you know? And it's like, you've changed, man. You've changed. But it's better than fucking other women, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is like it's strange, you know, the way that technology has broken down kind of barriers for entry to all kinds of things has been really a double-edged sword. Another good example is the music industry. Now any asshole with a laptop can make a record.
Sure.
So there's a lot of garbage music out there. Now there's some gems if you go digging for it, you know, and I think the same thing is true with podcasts. There's, you know, anybody who feels like it can have a podcast now.
No, dude, it's the God's honest truth, man. Listen, I feel like you put in what you get out, right? But I mean, there's a lot of people on YouTube who deserve the money they're making for sure. They do great production. They, you know, even those were some of those reaction videos. I can't stop watching some of those reaction videos. Some of them are really good, but these people are making, you don't, there's no more. Like I was a comic for 20 years almost, man. I was hitting the clubs every night, 3 o'clock in the morning spots, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, a 450-pound guy on YouTube can go viral. And now he's fucking headlining arenas. Do you know what I mean? Like that's just the way it is. Our industry has totally flipped to a different level. So it's like working. Say you're a miner for 20 years. You know what I mean? And that's a bad example. Say you've done something that you hone a craft for 20 years, and now it's like being replaced by a robot. Do you know what I mean? Like that's the way it feels. Like comedians are going to be fucking you know, the thing of the past eventually. Once they figure out that if they want to keep live theater, then there'll be a place for us. But you know, you don't turn on the Tonight Show anymore to watch comedy. Do you know what I mean? You go on fucking YouTube and you're like, oh, let me see what, you know, this, and you type in anything, you know, giraffe sucks a clown's dick, and you'll find something kind of like that.
Well,
it's sex on demand.
The late night TV thing is kind of an example where they tried to there's one show I'm thinking of where they tried to grab this girl. I forget what her name is. I think she's Indian, something Singh, and
I know exactly what you're talking about.
She had like a really popular YouTube channel, but it does not translate into like late night TV bits. But they snatched her up because she had a gazillion followers on her YouTube channel. And they're fucking shoving that down people's throats if they're up late enough watching regular TV. But the problem is most people aren't. They you know, they're
right.
Going down YouTube rabbit holes or whatever.
Especially, I don't know if she was trying to. A lot of her fans are probably also millennials and people who are Gen Z, because those are the people who are really watching YouTube or Gen Z. It's not like the people who are watching late night TV who are our parents and maybe Gen Xers. Do you know what I mean? Or watching some late night television, because we kind of grew up with it. We're the last generation to kind of grow up with late night television. Which now sucks. I mean, you know, you used to be able to watch Johnny Carson and it was like four drunk guys, you know, punching each other in the face, you know, on Carson. It was just like real men hanging out and talking. You know, these guys were just hanging out with mobsters before the show started. You know, they're drinking whiskey and smoking cigars on Johnny Carson. Now you're on fucking Jimmy Fallon, and they got the TikTok girl doing TikTok dances with the TikTok girl, and you're like, this is jerk off stuff. Like, where's the writing?
And even an innocuous bit like that offends people now. There was some kind of backlash that it was a white girl doing the dances, but a lot of the dances were developed by black people that on TikTok. And I guess he had to like redo it with the original dancers, or because they were all.
Are
pissed
you kidding
off.
Me?
No, I'm serious. Oh, I just saw this.
Dude, how are we going to eat? How are white people going to eat in the next 10 years if they keep on taking jobs away from us, dude? Now, let me tell you something. For the last fucking 50 years, there's been like one black person on TV. Honestly, like there's we've not represented the minority community properly on television. But they should just give TV, like, let TV be our thing then. You know, you can have YouTube, you can have TikTok, you can have MySpace. Whatever, you know, just give white people boring old late night television. And when the last baby boomer dies in 5 years, they should just scrap it all and just get rid of it. I mean, I'm going to throw my – I don't even know – you don't even need a television anymore. You really don't. I don't even know why people even have cable. It's dumb.
Yeah.
You know, you have this 20,000 streaming channels that give you everything you want. And then there was another girl on Netflix too, the girl who would she would imitate President Trump on TikTok. She would do some of his press conferences. Like, she would just kind of like pantomime it, and then they gave her like a whole comedy hour on Netflix. Like, she had her own like comedy hour. You know, I know comedians who are amazing in New York City and LA who've never gotten their hour on Netflix. You got to have a really good pull to get on Netflix. But it's all about, you know, it's all about how many people you have. It's all about how many hits you get. And that's what they care about, man. They don't care about, it's not quality of writing and being funny. It's all about money. It's always been that way.
Yeah. I think all of that's true. Another interesting thing I think too, is going back to Johnny Carson. I've heard this repeated a lot, and I think it's valid. From watching The Tonight Show, you would have no idea if Johnny Carson was super liberal, super conservative, kind of down the middle of the road, because he really didn't get into kind of political bullshit. He just wanted to have a funny show.
Right. A lot of it was he had his bits tight. His monologue was not off the cuff. There was some improv, but it had nothing to do with any sort of politics. I mean, I think people want that too now. They want to go back to that. on the Creepy Corner, on the show that we do, the video show, we don't get political. I don't like getting political on our show because I don't, I want it to be like a junk food podcast. I want it to be something naughty that you eat at night before you go to bed. You know, it's where I want to be like a piece of chocolate cake. You know, I'm fat, so I'm using food references. There has to be something, it has to be like a little joint before you go to bed. You know, like I just want it to be fun. I want it to be relaxing. I want it to be like a barbecue in the summer where everybody's just having a good time. And if things get so, things are so political, I don't know how people have the time or the patience to keep talking about politics all the time because you get so much of it. I've never seen anybody talk about politics as much.
And it's weird. We made the mistake of, like, leading up to the election, our I guess idea was, well, we should cover this just because, just to, you know, help keep people informed or, you know, I don't know. But now that the election's over and I could see it like in our analytics, we took like a dip of views and listens whenever we would talk about politics, and it would go back up when we did episodes where there was nothing mentioned about it. So I think from here on out, even if there's an election going on, we're going to stay away from it unless it's just something, I don't know, like, you know, the Biden tripping up the stairs was kind of funny no matter what your political leaning is. That is kind of fun, but outside of something like that, I don't think we're going to really touch on it at all.
Yeah, man, it's boring. It gets boring, and it's, you know, these guys, I would love to fire all these political analysts, all these people that you see on Fox News that have this useless job of just giving you their opinion about politics. And you're just, I don't care. I don't care, man. Like, just if you have a problem with what's going on in this country, you always vote. You vote for everything you vote for every issue. You vote for the politician that votes for your issue. You just do some fucking research. If you don't like what's going on, do some research on the people you're voting for, and that'll solve your problems. Staging a protest in New York City and falling off walls on the Chase Bank building, it's not going to solve anything. It's just people have died so stupidly this year in riots that didn't have to happen and protests that didn't have to happen. You know, like people, like, you know, I think like three people got shot during the George Floyd protests. You know what I mean? Like it's like those people could be out right now hacky sacking or doing something fun, eating a hamburger or whatever the fuck floats your boat. And it's nobody's taking responsibility for this, man. The press doesn't take responsibility for these dead people. You know, it's sad. It's just live your life, man. Do some coke, have sex, you know, fucking just enjoy life, man. And just go out for a walk in the sun. It's so much bullshit. Everyone's got to fight the good fight. Go fuck off.
Yeah. You know, it's, I'm sure I've said this before, but if not, I'm saying it now. I have never been so worked up about something that I felt the need to like go set a building on fire to express my point of view. And I just don't understand. I don't get how you can be that, I don't know, passionate's not even the right word. How you think that will solve any problems?
I think it's just an excuse to demolish things. It's an excuse to for your id to kind of go crazy and just to be like, "Listen, oh, we can destroy these buildings and no one's gonna fucking arrest me. This is great. I'm gonna get my backpack. I'm gonna fill it with mace. I'm gonna fill it with firecrackers. I'm gonna fill it with all this stuff. And I'm gonna go. What are we protesting again? Who died? Whatever. So, you know. Black people got to understand it. It's not even black people that we're blaming this on. We're blaming this on white people, on these white kids that are they're doing what white people do best. They hijack the agenda, and they decide to take it on their own to do all this bullshit. You know what I mean? Like they decide to. Every time I see it's all these people who their parents brought them to boarding school and they never had a father figure in their life to tell them to be bad or good, or they were helicoptered by their parents and told they were beautiful people and that everything they do is great, and not to be you're never an asshole. You're never an asshole. It's not you, you know. You can do whatever you want. And if you get in trouble, you sit in the corner and you think of what you did. You know, it was never the guy. Those people who were out there destroying buildings were never – they never had a dad who came home after a nine-hour day, in construction, and you fucked up. Your mom told him you fucked up, and then he rolls up his sleeves and he slaps you around until you cry. You know, because that was those were the people who were like, I wouldn't do that. You know, that's fucked up. You know what I mean? Like I was taught right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I was taught not to destroy that building. You know, my dad would kick my ass if he knew I was doing that kind of stuff. These people have, there's no regulation anymore, man. I that's where I think it all stems from. I think it just stems from, there was a lack of discipline in their life. There was a lack of morality, right and wrong. You know, like these kids, when you're able to do whatever you want, if you're able to yell, to talk back to your parents without any repercussions, you're going to grow up to be an asshole. That's just the way it is. No one taught you not to be an asshole.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is a sense of entitlement and not being instilled with a sense that you need to respect anybody. excuse me. I'm going to take a guess here. Most of these kids probably grew up calling their parents by their first names. right. If they even knew their dad, you know,
they probably knew their dad. Yeah. Right.
It was, they're my friend before they're my parent. You know, we hang out and, you know, mom gives me weed or whatever. And now they feel like they're entitled to do whatever they feel like, with no kind of limits. One case that kind of, you know, the media seems to be kind of sweeping under the rug, where these, I want to say that they're both attorneys, which is, I don't know. It's kind of terrifying that this is, you know, people who should clearly know the fucking law, that's their job. Like firebombed a police cruiser at one of these riots. And then they're currently on trial now. It's being kind of overshadowed by the George Floyd trial. But some of the testimony there is like, you know, they're trying to hide behind, you know, some First Amendment stuff. And it's like, you can't, your freedom of speech can't involve, a Molotov cocktail. Like that stops being speech.
Right. Because if that's the case, and everybody who got in trouble for the Capitol building protest should be let go.
Yeah.
Because again, that's First Amendment right to, I mean, that's exactly why the First Amendment was written, by the way. It was written when you're distasted with the government, when the government is not working for you, you are allowed to show them your displeasement, you know, and you know, they used to tar and feather motherfuckers back in the day. They used to, you know, we're not doing that. And these, and again, I think that was totally blown up. I don't think it was the right thing to do was to do any vandalism. They should have been smarter and they should have just protested outside the building peacefully. Yeah. But show the presence. If there was a lot of people there, they should have showed their presence and showed the world, you're expecting us to do fucked up stuff, but you know what? We're just going to stand right here and be polite and protest the way we're supposed to. A lot of these knuckleheads went inside the building, and of course now you're giving these people who don't do anything for you, these politicians who they're all millionaires. I mean, look at that. All these politicians are mega rich people, fearing for their lives. They were cowering behind their desks because they were afraid that these white people were gonna terrorize them and destroy them. You know what I mean? However, you know, they kind of like these guys were all schlubs. You know, these guys were all goofy, like 55-year-old dads who wanted to pretend they were like 20 years old again. And they stole some artifacts and they wanted to take pictures sitting at their desks and stuff. I mean, I don't think anybody was ever really harmed with the way they said that people were harmed. You know, I'm not really sure exactly everything that went down, but in my opinion, that First Amendment should, it belongs to everybody. You can't, just because they're going after the government, you can't call them insurrectionists because they're going after a different kind of government building in a different city. Those people aren't insurrectionists. Those people are protesters, peaceful protesters. It's not the racism. It's not racism. It's not white against black. It's the semantics that are making people angry. And it's the semantics that are making, I'm going to say, Republicans angry, because it's all, Republicans are all white, Hispanic, black, Asian immigrants, anybody who came to this country to make a better life for themselves generally votes Republican. If you've ever noticed, immigrants generally vote Republican, who they know how to come to this country and use this country to make a better life for themselves, and their kids are going to be doctors. They might be washing dishes, but their kids can become a lawyer. They can't do that shit in Guatemala and Haiti. They can do it here. And what they're getting in response to that are all these young white people who grew up in relatively rich neighborhoods going, no, that's not what you want. You want the fucking people to get together, man. You want them to get together. We're all going to be equal. We're all going to be equal. These guys, these people are going, no, I don't want to be equal. I want to have three cars.
Yeah.
I know I can have three cars because I'm going to work for those three cars. No, no, man. We're going to destroy the state. You know how we're going to destroy the state, man? We're going to destroy blue collar businesses. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there and we're going to destroy downtown Manhattan that the taxpayers got to pay back. That's how we're going to destroy it. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? You're not doing anything right. If you want to watch a good video, dude, if you ever watch Doug Stanhope on the Occupy Wall Street.
I haven't seen that, but I like after comedy, this, so.
Like, you know, yeah, dude, Doug Stanhope, again, he's a perfect example of a comedian who's off the grid, but has an amazing fan base because he's amazing. He's talented. He's funny. And he's always going to have an audience. He does this Occupy Wall Street video, which is unbelievable. It just tells you, you know, you stunk up a park for a month. That's all you did. You just sat in a park and played bongo drums. He's like, if you want to take down the banks, he's like, put on suits, go to the bank at 9 o'clock in the morning in a big droves, just go in droves and all, and just start filling out frivolous loans, you know, just block them up because they can't turn you away. Cause then that would be discrimination or whatever.
Right.
So just backlog those motherfuckers, you know, don't destroy a window, go in there and fucking apply for loans that you're never going to get.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
Hackers call it a denial of service. You jam up a website with so many requests that they can't, it can't be processed. And you could do the same thing with paper. I mean, you know, the other thing with the capital thing, it's like, I guess under a very broad definition of an insurrection, which, includes, what was the thing that I saw thrown out that I'm like, all right, I guess that fits, disrupting a government function because they were trying to certify the election results and it was delayed by a few hours. Okay, fine. But the whole thing of like, it's a coup and they tried to take over. I'm like, nobody, you know, if that's what was happening, everyone that went into that building would have had a rifle, you know, if that's what they were planning on doing. It wouldn't have just been like, let's take the podium and take some selfies. It would have been much worse if it was really what the media tries to paint it to be. Some kind of like takeover. It was a protest that got out of hand. I think it's fair to call it a riot for sure. I mean, that's what it turned into.
Sure.
But the flip is, like you said, how is establishing an autonomous zone not an insurrection, where you go, you know, the state has no authority in this spot, and it's like, well, wait a minute.
Dude, ask David Koresh. Ask David Koresh why. I mean, he could, why they and the FBI came in and they firebombed the place. Why did the FBI come in and firebomb Chaz? It's all about the agenda, man.
Yeah.
If you want to make it so obvious where these Democrats are not funding these these little, you know, I would call those things coups, because nobody really, a coup d'etat is, I believe it's something that nobody was expecting. I mean, everybody, there was, well, maybe like a couple of thousand people at that protest in Washington, D.C. There was a lot of people at that protest. Yeah. If everybody, if they wanted the coup, believe me, they would have overrun that place like a bunch. They would have, people would have been slaughtered. I mean, look at Malaysia. That was a real coup.
Yeah.
Where they slayed everybody. Everybody was executed. You know what I mean? Like that's no joke. We didn't even hear about that shit, really. We heard about that shit on you know, you have to go to the Guardian to listen to some shit like that. So yeah, it's if you're getting fed information by the news, you're the same as somebody who's being fed information by QAnon. It's the same kind of fucking person, just on a different level. You know, they're saying that the frog's going to make you gay. That's stupid. You're dumb. You know, what I heard was that, you know, wearing 5 masks is better than wearing 4 masks. And that's probably going to stop, you know, and these vaccines are going to make me healthy again. All right. Well, whatever you say, you know. You got to pick a lane, I guess. I mean, most people who are smart, who have a head on their shoulders, probably go the middle route and kind of deflect all the extremities on the left and right and just try to get through the day. You know, just, and that's why I'm saying, like, give me my fucking shot. Just give me my vaccine.
Yeah.
Just give it to me. I just want to go back to the Matrix, please. I mean, that's all we got. That's all we got is the Matrix. Most people, they want to go to work. They want to come home on the weekend. They want to eat takeout food. They want to see their friends. They want to get drunk. They want to get up on. They want to get up late on Sunday, and they want to go to work on Monday. That's all most people want. I would say about 95% of the population in this country, that's all they want to do. They want to take their kids on vacation. They want to have memories with their family. They just want to fucking live their lives, and they're so caught up in all this bullshit that's going on constantly. That, I mean, it's. It's like Facebook has become the great, you know, civil war between families now. Families are just isolating each other and kicking each other out of the families because of all these, you know, crazy, like all this crazy rhetoric that's going on.
Well, and it's, you know, the, I mean, obviously everything with COVID has been, I don't know, just insane. But the, the latest stuff that you hear from, especially Fauci, where they're like, you know, even if you get the vaccine, you have to keep wearing a mask, and doing all this kind of, I don't know, nonsense. Rand Paul is the only person who I've seen kind of call him out. And one of the things he said was, even just from if you want to encourage people to get this thing, the way to do it is not to say, even after you get it, you have to behave as if you're vulnerable. You give an incentive and say, like, well, now you can act like a normal person again. So it's like, I don't know. It's a very strange, like, what exactly is the motivation to get vaccinated if you don't get to return to normal? And they don't seem to have an answer for that. You know, I don't know. The whole thing has been just bizarre, and the overreach on all levels of government has just been, if people aren't awake to the fact that, you know, the state, and I include obviously the federal government in that, as well, is not your friend and does not have your best interests at heart. They're looking to control you. I don't know what would wake someone up to that if COVID hasn't.
Sure. I mean, I agree with you on all that stuff. I mean, where I lost all interest in all this stuff that was going on was when we were in the heat of COVID. It was, last June when George Floyd get killed, or he died June or May or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
It was right before the summer. Right before the summer. So Facebook was nothing but, why can't people just stay home? Why can't you just stay home? That was the thing. Stay home and wear a mask. Stupid. It's that simple. Stupid. You're so dumb because you don't wear a mask. Oh, you're going to go outside? Are you crazy? We're trying to flatten the curve. And then all of a sudden, George Floyd can't breathe. And then all of a sudden, we're all getting together in Midtown tonight, all 5,000 of us. And I was like, do you think that this is okay to protest during a pandemic? I mean, don't you think everyone getting together? It's justified. It's justified. And they're wearing masks. So I don't even know what your problem is. Okay, because they're all wearing masks. And it's justified. Okay, so it's just – okay, so COVID understands about racism. You're right. So COVID is going, guys, I'm not – listen, I'm with Black Lives Matter. You know, no one's getting sick. No one's getting sick at this protest. And then a couple of weeks later, everything's spiking up. And then people go, you're still going outside? You're still going outside? Why did it spike up if people just wear their masks? Oh, we're going out for another protest? Yeah, we've been protesting every night. Here's a selfie of me taking a protest. Here's a selfie of me taking a protest. It's like, come on. If you're gonna be righteous, you gotta be righteous on the same page all the time. You can't say it's okay to protest in a mass assembly now when people are getting, you know, during a pandemic, and then you're complaining about Republicans not wearing a mask in a restaurant. Are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I'm done. I'm out. This is circus land. This is not. Like Gino goes, I don't believe that. I mean, Gino was kind of really pissing against the wind throughout the whole pandemic. He's like, you know, I'm not wearing a mask ever, bro. Hey, buddy, I'm not wearing a mask. Daddy doesn't have to wear a mask because daddy doesn't need to do what daddy did. And, you know, I'm like, listen, just wear the fucking mask, dude. You know, like, just it's okay. And now he made some good points too, man. But I'm like, you know, now that everyone's getting vaccinated, I see them getting a little bit cockier. I think people feel a lot better. They wanted to have Biden in office. They built up the agenda, and now this is like making everybody feel okay. It's like finally people feel like they can breathe. Like those songs that were coming out, I'm getting vaccinated today.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe him. You know, this, and it's like, oh, it's like, and then people are claiming they haven't been outside for a whole year. Come on, you're full of shit, man. You haven't been outside for a whole year, really? You've just been shut up in your house for a whole year. You're a fucking liar. You're a fucking liar. Yeah, you're a liar. That's why I'm calling you a liar. I just changed subjects there for a second. I just started a new one. Is the guy you do this with, is he like a neighbor of yours? Like you guys live in the same town?
We do live in the same town, but he actually we've known each other since we were like 15. We actually used to work at a scout camp together. That's where we met, was during the summer. We were both sexy. Staff at this at the scout camp. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it was, you know, spitfire romance from the beginning. And
the kids.
Yeah.
There was a low triangle between you and a Weeblo and him.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And you said it's all in the name. We can blow them.
Blow, yeah. but yeah, years later, he got a job with I don't know if you remember these. Do you remember internet radio stations? Do you remember when those were a thing?
Dude, I'm 42 years old.
Well, it was.
I went to school for communication. I used to splice tape together. Cassette tape together, dude. Go ahead, tell me all about internet.
Well, we started doing man tools on this internet radio station that he was basically the engineer for. He got all the technical stuff set up for him. Cause he's an audio engineer by trade. So he has a recording studio and knew exactly what kind of equipment they would need and whatnot. And then what's kind of funny to me is even as we were doing that, people would, and when I would tell people about the show, they'd be like, oh, so a podcast? And it's like, well, no, it's an internet radio station. So if you don't listen during our time slot, you just miss the show.
Very inconvenient. You'd have to come and listen at a certain time, like a fucking animal.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it. And then anyways, that station kind of went under, first they reformatted to Christian and kicked us off.
And then, I would not understand why.
I don't either. Somehow we didn't fit into their ministry, I guess. What we should have done is either while we were doing the internet radio thing, ideally, or right after, done the podcast thing. But no, we waited like 2 years and then started a podcast when everybody else was starting podcasts. So.
right. Well, you didn't want to take a bath on it. You wanted to make sure that it was a sure thing, and then you get lost in the white noise.
Right. Yep.
Well, even the creepy corner, man, like we're just a drop in a pond. You know what I mean? The only way you can really stand out is if you get really lucky, or you get like some huge guest on that you just get all these eyes. Like if Joe Rogan has you on his show, then believe me, your show's going to do just fine. You know what I mean? It's just you have to kind of get lucky with who you have on. Now that you've had me on, dude, you're going to skyrocket like – fucking there's no ceiling for you guys now once you had Zenhauser on the show.
I hope so,
you know what I mean? Gino, I'm blessing Gino you guys it. With the show.
I hope so, because Gino said that was going to happen with him and then it didn't, so
and we're back, so make sure to catch the rest of that interview or
discussion,
chat, meanderings.
Yeah.
Make sure to catch the rest of that on our Patreon.
That's right. There's like another hour of us just bullshitting. It was fucking awesome. I had a great time.
That's great.
So I missed you, buddy.
I know. And my head in a sprinkler box.
We'll have to get in on that Red Dwarf thing with him.
Oh,
and,
man. Can't wait for him to claim he's the biggest Red Dwarf fan ever.
We do need to take care of a little bit of business. Right quick, we need to tell you about. I'm gonna actually open the script before I start saying the words.
We gotta tell you about a little EXO.
We need to tell you about and open the website that I actually want open.
You had an hour.
I totally neglected this.
You had an hour.
I did. An hour to set that up, and I failed. Here we go. We'll go on this spot.
That thing's awesome.
As always, EXO Autoworks. Mantles is brought to you by EXO Autoworks, Colorado Springs, home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. The other thing that happened this week, I got me oil change, power steering service, differential service, what else did they do? They checked out like my belts and stuff, that stuff. And then they discovered that my brakes were nearly shot.
Mm-hmm.
Got the brakes, the rear brakes redone. How much do you think I spent?
Right around $450.
That's a very good guess. I was expecting, especially after they tacked on the brakes, I'm like, well, this is going to be at least $550, $600. Yeah. And no. Because they're fucking awesome. Like, they're not nickeling and diming you for silly shit.
Nope. They have flat rate fees on all of their maintenance.
That is stuff. Correct.
So
as
it is what it is.
As you can see right there, fixed price service packages. and they know that getting your car right starts with finding the problem, like my brakes. That wasn't what I went in there for, but they found that problem. They also do fleet services, fluid services, which we just talked about, repair services, and much, much more. They work on all makes and models, including my old ass car, high mileage, which mine also fits into that. And they offer a 24,000 mile, 2 year nationwide warranty. So call EXO at 719-375-3232 or go to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment right away. Thanks, EXO. And that's, we're like at the end.
That's pretty much a wrap. That was the hardest working show we've ever done.
Yeah.
Well, as always, guys, thank you. Thank you so much for our listeners and especially our sponsors, EXO Autoworks and Harmonic Studios, Twisted Apes Bar and Grill, Madrid Maintenance, and all of our offsite video production done by Lone Wolf Productions. If you'd like to check us out on the interwebs, it's very easy to do. Go to mantoolsmedia.com or at mantoolsmedia on all of the social medias, except TikTok. I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think we'll ever be there.
I really don't think so either. If you'd like some merch, we'd highly recommend checking that place out. It's redbubble.com. Go to mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com to get directly to our store. We've got a couple of new things up there, new to you, and some new ideas in the works. Super fun. Our Patreon, which the rest of that interview will be on Patreon tomorrow. If you'd like to get on ours, it's very easy. It's about $5 a month. Patreon.com/mantoolsmedia. Mantoolsminions.locals.com. You can become a minion for also $5 a month. And thanks to Lone Wolf 27 for becoming a minion / supporter. Upcoming events at Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. We have an amazing Friday night for you guys. Zep 11 will be playing. They are a, not a look-alike, play-alike, but a definite play-alike and sound-alike Zeppelin band, and she hits the notes that Plant hasn't hit in 60 years. Repeat Offender will be offending you repeatedly on Saturday night. I know those guys, they would have thought that was funny. Copacetic is coming up. And then next week as well, we've got... You have to hit Seymour.
That already happened.
Seymour.
There we go.
Seymour. We have the BACA, Bikers Against Child Abuse, Pikes Peak Chapters. Actually, it's the 12th anniversary with live music with yours truly's cover band extraordinaire. Meh. We're all right. Facing Forward. Mystic 7 and more Mystic 7 and then some more Mystic 7. I think that's... I think John
they,
was... I think
are they
John
the house
was,
band?
They're into the new house band. It, no, it's just funny that... it's funny how Facebook works because when you post an event... And then the band posts an event, and then they make you a host
and
of
that
event. And
they both go up on your page.
And then the bands don't realize that it's far easier to make one event and then invite everybody to one instead
around,
of two.
Yeah. Yep.
But I digress.
Yeah. That's, you know.
This is what it is. Mystic 7, haunting Colorado Springs for the last 20 years. They have been a staple.
Yeah,
here
definitely.
Forever. So, mix of 80s and 90s and 2000s rock. So lots of things happening at the Twisted Apes. I think it's 2501 North Platte Avenue. Check it out. Always good time for dinner.
Yes. Very good food. Yeah,
we just met
cold beer.
We met the chef. He's a cool dude. Probably bring him on the show and talk to him a little bit about some stuff.
If he has time.
Yeah. He's always busy making them burgers. Kitchen. All right, guys, thank you again so much for watching and or listening or enjoying however you enjoy your podcast / internet radio.
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to have so much fun with him because we both have degrees in audio and radio broadcasting. He's like, oh, splicing tape. You know, and cassette tape. I'm like, bitch, it's 2-inch tape. You ever get there at 6 in the morning and get the hams? We used to call them hams. There's huge magnets about this big. And you have to walk towards the tape machines to demagnetize the heads. It's ridiculous. That was my first job at a studio.
Yeah, since the second half of the interview is going to be on Patreon, and that's where he did all of his plugs, I'm going to go ahead and plug for Mr. Anthony Zenhauser. Please check out, look up thecreepycorner.nyc is the website. Anywhere you find podcasts, The Creepy Corner. They also have a YouTube channel, and their YouTube show is actually different than the podcast. So you should check out both things. And then, of course, the Complete Bastard podcast, wherever you find podcasts. That's the British comedy podcast that he's doing as well. So check out all of that stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, his handle on Twitter is at ZenComic. So check him out personally as well. And... he said, you know, he doesn't really have anything live coming up until like May or June, and it's all on the East Coast. But, you know, if you're looking for stand-up comedy when he starts kicking that off again full tilt, check him out for that too. Right. So
here's hoping he gets his Netflix special.
Well, he did say he is like self-producing an hour coming up. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, he's kind of a douche canoe, but he's a really funny guy.
That's right. As long as you tell a comic they're funny, you can say anything else you want about them.
That's right.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Lucky Land Slots, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.